Good morning. You are listening to Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network, your main source of accessible community news and information. We're located in Lowell, Massachusetts. We read local news, editorials, feature stories, and more. Lab Radio is brought to you by volunteers and the staff of the Lowell Association for the Blind. My name is Rosemary, and I will begin reading from the Andover Townsman. Lab would also like to thank Nancy L. and Richard K. Donahue Charitable Foundation for their support. So, this is today, the Andover Townsman, the week of January 1 through January 7. From Page News, MLK celebration set for January 19th. Join the celebration of unity at Andover's 19th annual MLK Junior Day event from 11 to 1 on Monday, January 19th at Andover Baptist Church, 7 Central Street. The Day of Unity, Reflection, and Community will honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The keynote speaker of the event is Patrick Twitwiller, the state's Secretary of Education. Attendees will enjoy musical performances, King Jr. recitations, and more. Music will be led by the Andover High School Chamber Choir and the Choral Majority Gospel Choir, the Rabbi Indian Irondo of the Congregation of Olam, and the Avat Ensemble of the Gospel Jazz Ensemble. Ralph Bledsoe will recite King's I Have a Dream speech. This year's theme, United We Stand, Divided We Fall, Strengthen Our Community Faith and Common Humanity. And there are several pictures accompanying this article, including one of Martin Luther King that was taken on while he was still alive making his famous speech. From Page News, school buys Royal Crest for $250 million. Local real estate developer and entrepreneur helped Merrimack College seal the deal on a $254 million purchase of the Royal Crest apartment complex on Monday. The documents were recorded with the Northern Essex Registry of Deeds, showing Air North Andover selling the Royal Crest estate to 50 Royal Crest owners for $254 million. Both Air North Andover and 50 Royal Crest owner are Delaware Limited Liability Companies. A foreign limited liability company application for registration filing shows Salvatore Lapoli of Lawrence and Joseph Zink of Framingham will manage the real estate investment. Royal Crest Estate was built in the early 1970s and sits on 76 acres on Route 114. It features 588 two- and three-bedroom apartments in multiple buildings currently managed by Princeton Properties of Lowell. The sale was executed last Thursday, Town Manager Melissa Rodriguez said. I look forward to working with them on the future of the site. I'm excited about the potential for what is currently an underutilized parcel, and I'm confident that we can work collaboratively with the partners for the best interests of North Andover. The college is no stranger to redevelopment proposals and expansion plans. In 2022, a Royal Crest development proposal was shot down by residents at a town meeting as Merrimack College looked to partner with Royal Crest estate owners to redevelop their property with mixed-use residents and two dorms for 1,000 college students. Trinity Financial had proposed the demolition of the apartment complex in phases up to 10 years, replacing the buildings with a mix of housing, retail, office space, and parking. Merrimack College leases privately owned Royal Crest apartments. Students have been able to choose from different units to live at the complex across the street from the campus. In 2023, the planning board approved the college's plan to add two new dorm buildings on the campus at the corner of Route 114 and Andover Street. The dorm expansion is slated to be finished for the fall of 2026 and will add 540 on-campus beds. Merrimack College could not be reached for immediate comment on its future plans for Royal Crest Estates concerning what it plans to do with the land or the apartments. From Page News, Helping the Poor, Homeless, and Hungry, topic for speaker series. From Andover, Temple Emmanuel of Andover Social Action Network will present the next program in the community's speaker series, Lazarus House Ministries, Supporting the Community with Dignity and Compassion, from 3 to 5, February 1st, at Temple Emmanuel, 7 Haggis Pond Road. The program will be offered both in person and via Zoom. The event is free and open to the public, with advance registration required. The program will feature leaders from Lazarus House Ministries, a nonprofit organization based in Lawrence dedicated to supporting individuals and families facing poverty, homelessness, and food insecurity. Through a network of programs, Lazarus House works to uplift the most vulnerable members of the local community with dignity, respect, and compassion. The program will include remarks by its executive director, Carmen Vega, and the Major Gifts Officer, Nancy Gottsman, as well as a video presentation highlighting the many ways Lazarus House Ministries serves those in need. We are honored to welcome Lazarus House to Temple Emmanuel and hear directly from their leadership about the organization's mission, the scope of its program, and the ongoing need for food, housing, and resource support, said Kathy Tutman and Susie Novak, co-chairs of the Social Action Committee Speaker Series. Their work represents a powerful example of neighbors helping neighbors. This event is an opportunity for our community to learn more about the challenges facing families in Lawrence and to explore meaningful ways to offer support. Guests are encouraged to bring boxed macaroni and cheese or canned beans for local families in need. For more information about this speaker series, call 978-470-1356. Again, that number, 978-470-1356. Local news from the Andover Townsman. Hardware store is rounding up for children. Rocky's Ace Hardware has kicked off its annual Roundup for the Kids campaign, inviting customers to round their purchases up to the next dollar, and that was held until December 31st. All donations went directly to Children's Miracle Network hospitals, including Boston Children's Hospital, helping local children access critical medical care, innovative treatments, and support services for families during hospital stays. The health care professionals at Children's Miracle Network Hospital are nothing short of heroes, said Rocco Falcone, president of Rocky's Hardware. We're proud to support their work and grateful to our customers who join us in helping kids get the best possible medical treatment right in their local communities. Last year, Rocky's customers helped raise more than $91,000 across all of Rocky's 51 locations in 9 states. Local participating Rocky stores include those in North Andover, Middleton, and Gloucester. In New Hampshire, customers can participate in the Concord, Dover, and New London locations. Each year I'm moved by how generously our customers give, Falcone said. When we were together, we helped hospitals save lives and bring hope to families who need it most. That's what the season of giving is all about. Local news, critical lands now protected. from Epping, the Southeast Land Trust of New Hampshire completed a critical conservation project in Kingston and Hempstead, protecting watershed and wildlife habitat. The completion of the 36-acre Kim Conservation Easement in Hempstead and Kingston now adds approximately 290 acres of conservation and public land, which is part of a 1,700-acre unfragmented forest block. The Kim project contains DES-designed high-priority water supply lands and includes multiple vernal pools and beaver ponds, providing critical habitat for the wildlife in this region. Cheryl Kim was deeply committed to ensuring her land would remain a haven for wildlife, plants, and trees, said Caitlin Dio, conservation project manager. Her decision to donate a conservation easement over her land was an incredible gift that she dedicated to the living landscape it protects. Transaction funding for this project was provided by the Merrimack Conservation Partnership, a public-private effort for land conservation in the Merrimack River watershed. From Derry, Soup Kitchen cites unprecedented need. As the new year approaches, staff and volunteers at Sunshine Soup Kitchens reflects on the many guests they were able to nourish because of the generosity of the community during a year of unprecedented need. This year, the community needs doubled, turning the soup kitchen into a hub of activity and demand. But thanks to the community, those demands were met and exceeded with the expansion of meals on Fridays and double the number of breakfast bags provided to children, adults, and seniors. The steep increase in meals needed slowed down towards the end of the year, swinging back towards alignment with the easing fears for running away growth. The number of meals served is still going up, but at a slower rate than in the fall. In the upcoming year, the soup kitchen will also be expanded its clothing closet hours to Thursday thanks to an influx of volunteers. The soup kitchen and the clothing closet are still looking for donations for the following items: salsa, salad dressing, pudding cups, jellies, jams, bottled waters, packaged cookies, serving containers, Ziploc sandwich bags, plastic utensils, trash bags, manila folding staples, and liquid laundry detergent. A new men's and women's underwear, feminine pads, deodorant, chapstick, etc. The nonprofit is also taking donations directly on the website. From Andover, firefighters tackle rollover car on fire on Interstate 93. Firefighters responded to multiple accidents on the highway over Monday night during the inclement weather, including a rollover car fire. Around midnight, Andover Fire Rescue received a report of a car fire and possible entrapment on Interstate 93 southbound before the exit for Descombe Road. The firefighters arrived on scene to find a single vehicle rolled over in the woods and engulfed in flames. The driver was able to free himself prior to helping with the arriving Chief Kyle Murphy. There were no reported injuries. Federal judge blocks move to cut FEMA funds. From Boston, a federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from slashing counterterrorism funding for Massachusetts and other Democratic-led states deemed uncooperative with federal immigration enforcement. The ruling by the U.S. District Court Judge Mary S. McElroy in Rhode Island, issued late Monday, halts the Federal Emergency Management Agency plans to cut more than $233 million in funding from the Homeland Security Grant Program, which was approved by Congress in response to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack. AG sues over ban on gender-affirmative care. From Boston, Attorney General Andrea Campbell, was joined by Democrats in suing the Trump administration over its move to block hospitals from performing gender reassessment surgery on minors. The law, filed in U.S. District Court in Boston on Tuesday by Campbell and 19 other states, challenges new U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Center for Medicare and Medicaid service regulations that would once finalized restrict the use of puberty-blocking hormone therapy and surgical interventions for transgender children. The Andover Area Calendar. Today, January 8th, North Andover Wood Carving. Thursdays, a great social group welcoming all levels of carvers from 9 to 11:30, North Andover Senior Citizen Center. Discover Your Past Genealogy Club meets the second Thursday of every month from 9:30 to 11 at Memorial Hall Library, 2 North Main Street. To register for this genealogy club, call 978-623-8400. Again, to register for genealogy club, call 978-623-8400. Andover Dungeons and Dragons for Teens. Join the tabletop role-playing, no experience necessary, from 3:30 to 4:45 at Memorial Hall Library, again at 2 North Main Street. Andover Next Chapter Book Club, a book club for adults with intellectual or developmental disabilities. Join to enjoy good stories and fun, and they will meet from 4 to 5 at the Memorial Hall Library on 2 North Main Street. To register for this class, call 978-623-8400. For the number again at the Memorial Hall Library, 978-623-8400. North Andover Kids Nonfiction Book Club meets to discuss Massachusetts by Kate Conley from 4 to 4:45 p.m. at the Stevens Memorial Library, 345 Main Street in North Andover. To register for the Nonfiction Book Club for Kids, call 978-688-9505. From Ask Joan, as the year closes, much to be grateful for. As 2025 comes to a close, I want to take a moment to thank you for spending part of your year with me here in this column. Over the past 12 months, we have explored topics from fraud prevention to the joy of having pets. We've talked about maintaining our health, protecting our finances, making our home safer, and staying connected with family, neighbors, and our community. We also celebrated life learning and honed our five remarkable older adults who inspire us to keep growing and dreaming. Like every year, the goal of this column has been to address the issues that matter most to older adults, people with disabilities, and caregivers. I look forward to hearing from you and taking more topics in the year ahead. The year 2025 was a meaningful one for AgeSpan. Now, heading into our 52nd year, we continue to evolve to change the changing needs of 28 cities and towns we serve. In partnership with local organizations and community members, we updated our area plan to guide our goals for the coming years. We launched a new volunteer initiative with our Family Caregiver Support Program and developed a free online tool designed to assess well-being. These initiatives complemented the programs that remain at the heart of our mission. This year, we provided home care services to more than 20,000 individuals, delivered close to 1 million meals through our Meals on Wheels program, and supported hundreds of others through programs and services that promote health and safety, independence, and connection. As we turn the page to 2026, I'm deeply grateful for the dedicated AgeSpan staff, volunteers, vendors, and community partners who make our work possible. I'm also thankful for you, our readers, and look forward to continuing the conversation in the new year. Are you caring for an older adult or need help finding healthy aging resources? Our experienced staff is available to help. You can call 800-892-0890 for age span assistance. Again, that number, 800-892-0890. From the sports page, Martin Andover girls storm into title game from North Andover. As much pride and accompanying pressure as there is in Andover High girls basketball program, it's nothing compared to the legacy expectations from home for Katie Martin. Martin's mom, Jenna Hartmanwell, was part of the Warrior program that ran off three Christmas tourney titles from 1995 to 1997. Sunday night here at Merrimack College, the sophomore Martin rose to the moment and made all the Warriors faithful, including mom, proud by tossing the game's high 21 to propel Andover past Bridgewater Raynham and into the Commonwealth Motors Christmas Classic Final for a 48-39 win. I'm really excited. My first year making the finals. There's definitely a little bit of pressure, said Martin. People underestimate us a little bit. I know we are going to be big. Our team knows what to do and how to win. On Tuesday night, Tool on the top-seeded Warriors will be challenged by number 3, Natick, which knocked off Pentucket in the early semifinal. The sharpshooter delivered 13 points after the break, including a pair of immense three-quarters threes as the Warriors built the lead and pulled away methodically. I guess when you're hot, you have to keep shooting, she said. My teammates trust me to shoot the ball. You are listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio was a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Lab would like to thank UMass Lowell's WUML-FM for providing the radio signal that allows us to broadcast 5 days a week. Now for a few articles from the Andover Townsman. This is from the week of December 25th through the 31st. Front page. Andover kids find hidden treats and special prizes. More than 150 children spread out across the park Wednesday night in the middle of December with flashlights. They weren't hunting for clues to the latest whodunit, but were looking for something much sweeter, candy canes. It was rumored by some town officials, a.k.a. Recreation Director Joe Conley, that Santa in his spare time had hidden hundreds of the curved, cool peppermint candies in the park. Turns out those rumors were true, as dozens of kids showed up and found the aforementioned confections by the dozen. Improving matters for those sweet of tooth were that some of the canes were wrapped with ribbons, affording their finders special prizes. And in what may be considered too good to be true, goodie bags for the hidden treats were provided by Conley and his team of helpers. And there are pictures of three kids in the park looking for the candy canes. Haggis Pond paving top story from Andover. Residents are a step closer being able to walk a new paved rail trail at Haggis Pond as the town puts the finishing touches on it. The trail has been closed since May when the town began its improvements, temporarily closing down 6.6 miles of the trail for paving progress and to install a wooden boardwalk and lookout area. The Haggis Pond Trail project developed a former railroad that encircles the pond with asphalt instead of dirt to make it more accessible for all visitors. The 1.6 mile, 8 feet wide paved trail. This paved trail is handicapped accessible with new boardwalk and accessible parking lots. Other amenities include benches and upgraded signs as part of this phase of the project. When it opens, it will be the town's first accessible trail. The project has been met with opposition since the Conservation Committee approved its permitting in October 2024. Opponents of the paved trail have advocated for a crushed stone path instead of asphalt. Early this year, a group of residents filed a lawsuit against the town over the trail, trying to stop it from being paved. The residents collectively referred to as citizens group in legal documents first filed its intent to sue the town in February. The group followed up with a complaint in Essex County Superior Court in April to stop the paving, tree cutting, and excavation related to the project. The group argued the land at Haggis Pond was protected by certain Massachusetts environmental laws and the trail would violate its designated use under Massachusetts law. The town proceeded on with the trail's construction as a judge denied the citizens group emergency motion for a preliminary injunction in Essex County Superior Court. The judge determined the group failed to show the project would irreplaceable destroy and damage or impair the environment. The judge added the town and its residents would suffer harms by delays, as the town would lose out a $500,000 grant to make the trail accessible. The lawsuit was ultimately dropped in July, and the rail trail project was funded in part by a $500,000 grant from the Mass Trails Grant Program's American Rescue Plan Act money was also allocated for the project. Local news. Gillette breaks ground. Procter & Gamble Gillette broke ground on expansion to its campus at 30 Brute Road in April, which will bring the razor blade production plant to town when finished. The company first announced the move of its manufacturing plant from South Boston to Andover in October 2023. It will be P&G's first grooming site to integrate blade, razor, aerosol, and chemistry manufacturing, creating a multidisciplinary manufacturing hub. The site will serve as the primary manufacturing hub in the U.S. for Gillette. It will not only support blade and razor production, but also packaging operations, shave preparation products, and direct-to-consumer fulfillment along with other P&G manufacturing. Since the project was announced, it went before town boards and commissions for a special permit. Public hearing for the project revolved around environmental concerns regarding the impact of emissions of forever chemicals into the atmosphere due to the razor blade production. Gillette representatives said the company follows state regulations and was willing to add extra filtration devices in the plant. From the Andover calendar, arts and in the area. Whiskey Treaty Roadshow performs at the Crossroads on January 10th. At 8 p.m. Saturday, January 10th, the Whiskey Treaty Roadshow will perform at the Crossroads Music Series at 190 Academy Road in North Andover. Enjoy the band's mix of style, including Americana, roots, rock and roll, and folk, as it creates boot-stomping jams, sing-along anthems, and a larger-than-life command of the stage. It costs $28 per person to attend. First day hike comes to Harold Parker State Forest. From North Andover, Governor Maura Healey encouraged folks to start their 2026 with tightened bootstraps along trails across Massachusetts, including a state forest that is right next door. On January 1, the Department of Conservation and Recreation welcomed all trackers to a new year of free guided hikes at DCR Parks. This marks the 35th anniversary of its first day hike initiative, with 16 parks to participate in. Families in North Andover can join in on the fun with a scheduled hike at Harold Parker State Park, which starts at 10 a.m., and that started on New Year's Day. The guided walk will be from one pond to another, Barrie to Salem, and back, which is approximately 2 miles and is expected to last about 1.5 hours. Leash dogs are welcome to hike along, and participants will be able to warm up with hot chocolate fire stock following the hike. I encourage everyone to kick off Mass 250 on New Year's Day with a first day hike at one of our incredible state parks, said Governor Maura Healey. This cherished tradition started right here in Massachusetts, bringing people of all ages and backgrounds together to take in fresh air and experience the beauty and rich history of our state. First day hikes were founded in 1992 when about 400 hikers gathered at Blue Hills Reservation in Milton to start their year. Since then, DCR has led thousands of hikers onto trails across the state each January 1st, showcasing Massachusetts' wintry landscapes and encouraging outdoor activity beyond the warmer months. The program's local success led to a nationwide expansion through American state parks in 2012. Aside from North Andover, hikes will be held at other DCR properties across the state. Hikes range from 1 to 3 miles in variety of difficulty, terrain, and features. DCR advises participants to wear proper footwear, dress for winter, and bring water. Inclement weather, such as rain, snow, or ice, could result in cancellations, and hikers are encouraged to contact parks in advance to confirm plan. For more information, call Harold Parker State Forest. Their number is 978-475-7972. Again, that number, Harold Parker State Forest, is 978-475-7972. Fact-checking holiday myths. Everybody enjoys Christmas, the joy, the music, the decorations, the food, the gift-giving. But not many people realize that several of the facts they've come to believe about this time of year aren't true. Here's a look at several holiday season facts that may differ from what you've observed beneath the mistletoe lore. Jingle Bells wasn't intended to be a Christmas song. James Lord Pyrmont, there's a picture of him, composed a song he titled One Horse Open Sleigh in Savannah, Georgia, in 1857. It wasn't renamed Jingle Bells until it was republished 2 years later. Pyrmont was writing about the annual sleigh race held in the town where he grew up, Medford, Massachusetts, at Thanksgiving. For what it's worth, Medford also claims to be the birthplace of the song. Note, however, that none of the lyrics, even of the Rayleigh song Ladder Voice, mention Christmas or December. Most likely, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Nothing in the Bible tells us the month or the date on which Jesus was born. The only clue in the Bible, shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. But very little grew into fields in Bethlehem in December that sheep could eat, so shepherds would have to keep their flocks indoors. In the 4th century, the church began celebrating the birth of Christ at the winter solstice to take the focus away from pagan winter solstice celebration that were widely observed at the time. Maybe Mary rode into Bethlehem on a donkey, but maybe she didn't. We've all grown up with this image of a very pregnant Mary riding the 65 or so miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey while Joseph walks alongside. It's a wonderful image, but nothing in the only written account of this journey in the second chapter of Luke tells us this. Also, Joseph and Mary had traveled to Bethlehem to take part in a census. But in those days, censuses were typically held in September or October before the cold set in. Jesus was born in a stable, but maybe he wasn't. The Bible said that Mary gave birth, wrapped him in a swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. A manger is a feeding trough for animals, so somehow this evolved into the legend of Mary giving birth in a stable, but then the three of them receiving visitors there. But nothing in the Bible specifically says they were in a stable. In fact, families in those days often lived upstairs and kept their animals and their mangers downstairs, but indoors. The wise men didn't visit right away, nor were they kings. The Bible says Magi traveled from the east, followed a star, and brought gifts. But the Bible says they arrived when Jesus was a young child, not necessarily an infant, and that they found him at home. It may have been a year or more after Jesus' birth. Magi are wise men, not necessarily kings. The Bible doesn't specify there were three of them. That's been inferred from the number of gifts the Bible says they brought. Much of the legend of the three kings from the mosaic created in Italy in the 6th century. For 22 years, it was illegal to celebrate Christmas in Massachusetts. We think of the first American settlers as pilgrims, but more precisely, they were Protestants who wanted to distance themselves from the Catholic Church and from the Reformation Church of England. Not only did they not celebrate Christmas, there was no scriptural basis for a celebration, they said, but they also made laws preventing anyone else from doing so. Between 1659 and 1681, anyone celebrating Christmas in Massachusetts could be arrested and fined. Christmas would become a federal holiday in the U.S. not until 1870. There's no such thing as the White House War on Christmas. The whole War on Christmas thing kicked off December 18, 2005, when actor, game show host, and political activist Ben Stein appeared on CBS Morning News and ranted about how Christmas was persecuted in America. This led to escalating and false accusations over the years. One notable one, a claim that President Barack Obama had ordered staffers to call Christmas trees holiday trees. That wasn't true in 2009, nor was it true in 2011, or when it was dragged up in 2021 regarding Joe Biden. And here are some Christmas by the numbers. 85% Americans who celebrate Christmas each year. 51% Americans who made attending church part of their Christmas celebration each year. 77% Americans who put up Christmas trees each year. 25 to 30 million number of real Christmas trees sold each year in the U.S. $15.7 million property damage caused each year from fires caused by dried out Christmas trees. In addition, an average of 10 people are killed each year. 14,700 number of people who visit hospital emergency rooms each November, December after holiday related decorating accidents. $1.6 billion number of Christmas cards bought each year in the U.S. and 28 million estimated number of packages delivered by the U.S. Postal Service every day since December 16th and December 21st, 2024. Dip, dive, and dunk. Dodgeball tourney benefits holiday charity. And from Haverhill, business groups, nonprofits, and families lined up on opposite ends of the court to dodge, duck, dip, and dive. This was a couple of weeks ago, and it was the 7th annual YMCA Business After Hours Dodgeball Tournament at the Haverhill YMCA on Winter Street, presented by the Greater Haverhill Chamber of Commerce. A total of 11 groups entered the tournament by either paying a $10 team fee or donating to the YMCA Giving Tree, a program where community members provide gifts to families in need around the holidays. Haverhill Bank, Merrimack Health, Bettany Communities, and more came prepared for the competition, each team with a 6-person roster that hit the floor. From Derry, puppy love. The first time Pat Kelly visited with adoptable dogs as part of the Golden Pet Companions program at her local community center, she learned the hard way not to dress well. "You leave smelling like the dog," she said. Just last week, Lucia and another dog, a Chihuahua mix named Dove, were transported from shelters in Georgia to Greater Derry Humane Society. On the first Thursday of each month, Director Paula Dunleavy and a group of volunteers and fosters bring their adoptable dogs to the Marion Gerrish Community Center to socialize and snuggle with seniors. "There are a ton of animals that need love, and I love them," Kelly said. "I just feel bad because some of them are so skittish." By the end of Thursday's program, a few seniors submitted applications for some of the available dogs, like Lucia and Dove, Ralphie, a playful corgi mix, and Taz, a shy Chihuahua Italian Greyhound mix. They're living in foster homes while awaiting development. While the seniors sat in a semicircle around the room, half filled with squeaky toys, the dogs wove between chairs, jumped up on legs for attention, and pattered across the room with toys in their mouth, eager to play. By the end of the 2-hour program, the dogs had each chosen a lap to fall asleep in, exhausted from the activity and affection. "It feels good to know animals connect with me," said Roberta Pendock of Derry, a small dog dazing in her arms. When Pendock lives where she lives, she can't have animals, but she gets her fix each month at the community center. Since the start of the year, the Greater Derry Humane Society has received over 150 applications from local area residents looking to surrender their animals, a substantial increase from last year. Behavioral issues, financial concerns, and long-term medical needs are among the reasons that numbers don't include the dogs rescued from the South. To help more animals get adopted, Dunleavy and her husband Marty, the acting president of the society, partnered with the Marion Gerrish Community Center to bring seniors and adaptable dogs together for an afternoon each month. Dunleavy hopes seniors will find companionship and the dogs might find their forever homes, but at least the dogs will be socialized and played with. Last month, Dunleavy even brought a group of kittens. "It's a great initiative to bring joy to both seniors and dogs looking for love," she said. Though the program is new, the Humane Society has been active in the Greater Derry area since 1975. When the founder died in 2014, the nonprofit was left to the Dunleavys, who were active as volunteers, fosters, and board members since its onset. The Humane Society doesn't have a brick-and-mortar location. Instead, with the help of other shelters and services, Dunleavy vets the animals, quarantines them for 48 hours in a state-approved space on her property, and places them with foster families while they await adoption. In an effort to raise money for the care of the animals and support volunteers and fosters, the Greater Derry Humane Society is selling calendars featuring Derry firefighters with adoptable animals. The proceeds support the Humane Society and the wellness of animals. The calendars can be sold for $15 and can be purchased on the Humane Society's website. Historians keep up the work at the Teeny Gatehouse. From Methuen. First it was a farmhouse, then a summer home, and a gatehouse, now a museum. This summer, Historic Museum, formerly known as Methuen Historical Society, completed work on yet another project on the property of 37 Pleasant Street this summer. The $600,000 project included replacing the roof, which had been installed in 1990, along with much of the initial restoration work. By 1988, the building was vacant. Then people started throwing stones through the windows, Catherine Robinson said, In response, the community board reached out to the state for help, which agreed to provide $1 million for the renovation and for the larger Gray Court estate. "It deserves to be saved," Robinson said. "We wanted it to be a museum. That is what it is now." The museum highlights Methuen's three millionaires, Charles Tenney, Edward Searles, and David Nemes. Students from the Greater Lawrence Technical School help with recent renovations, or maybe the previous, or maybe all of them, need to check. And there's a picture of the Historic Museum, formerly known as the Methuen Historical Society, is housed at the property at 37 Pleasant Street in Methuen. From Lawrence, House takes the reign at the Psychological Center. Lawrence, after 4 months of an intern leader, Holly House has been officially named Executive Director and CEO of the Psychological Center, a city nonprofit that assists those experiencing homelessness, addiction, and mental health challenges. Howe take the helm at TPC in August after the abrupt departure of Karina Pappalardo, its former chief executive. She has a pending lawsuit against TPC alleging breach of contract and violations of state wage. The TPC board of directors announced Howe's appointment in a statement recently. The center has been providing mental health and recovery services in Greater Lawrence since 1971. The organization runs the Daybreak Homeless Shelter and Women's View and Pegasus Recovery Homes, all in Lawrence. This decision reflects the board's confidence in Holly's leadership, integrity, and commitment to the mission of TPC. Holly has been successful in leading the organization in an interim capacity since August 2025, providing steady guidance and a clear strategic vision during a period of transition. Penny Hamill, president of TPC Board of Directors, said House appointment moves forward a refreshed brand identity that reflects this new chapter. "As part of this effort, we have launched a new official Facebook page where TPC is committed to showcasing the vital work we do to support individuals in recovery and those experiencing homelessness in our community. We will also be launching a new website in the new year." She said Howe has many attainable goals for the TPC, and we have no doubt that along with her leadership and the positive feedback we have received from the community on her impact so far, TPC will continue to move forward with strength, clarity, and purpose. "Her vision aligns closely with TPC's commitment to serving our community and compassion, integrity, and innovation." Howe has a background in leadership, change management, and organizational development. She is recognized for her people-first philosophy and commitment to building strong collaborative teams, officials said last summer. The former chief executive for more than 10 years, was removed from her role on August 6th. She received a letter of termination about her employment. The lawsuit seeks damages for her and others similarly situated as TPC employees. The court is to grant her actual damages plus triple damages. Response to the lawsuit was due in court on December 19th. Thank you for listening to Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. There are many ways to listen to Lab Radio. Request a free specialized radio receiver, or for more information about our radio reading service, call Lab at 978-454-5704. You can listen to Lab Radio anytime by dialing 1-631-359-9069. And you can visit our website, where you can tune into Lab Radio at LowellAssociationForTheBlind.org. That's all one word, LowellAssociationForTheBlind.org. And you can reach us again by calling 978-454-5704. And you can also listen to Lab Radio anytime by dialing 1-631-359-9069. Thanks for listening.